this? Does anyone have anything on your heart this evening? Testimony, a song, or? Well, if you have your Bibles, we're going to keep on this parable series, being Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13, the parable of the souls tonight. We'll be looking at the four types of soul. If you would stand, we'll start reading at verse 1. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this day. Thank you for your goodness, your blessings, all your mercy and grace. And Father, we ask you to speak to us just now, that you'd have your way. Reveal to our hearts what you've got in store for us tonight, challenges. Lord, lead and guide and direct us in everything we do and say. May you be glorified. May your name be uplifted. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Some call this the parable of the sower, and some call it the parable of the soul. And so... But we're going to be concentrating and looking at the soul. Here in verse 1, the Bible says that the same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And in chapter 12 of Matthew, in this chapter is where he talks about the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost, that the Israel or the Pharisees, they had accused him of casting out devils by a devil, that he had a devil. And of course, this is when he told them that all sins would be forgiven but the blaspheming of the Holy Ghost. And so with most commentators think that they had sinned this sin at this time. And Jesus and a lot of folks and a lot of commentators say and think that is when it says that same day Jesus went out of the house, that he left the house of Israel. And he went and sat by the seaside. And a lot of times, and folks, the Gentiles is mentioned or is known by the sea or the seaside. So that is kind of the way that a lot of folks say that he's changing his direction of ministry here. He had come to the house of Israel. I came to my own, and they received him not. And so, as we see now, he is telling a parable, a kingdom parable, that of getting geared up to the for the kingdom. An 80-year-old grandfather went to his daughter's house for Sunday dinner one time, and after the meal, he said he was going to go take a walk for about 20 minutes and he'd be back. And 2 hours later, he came back. And he said that I ran across an old friend that just wouldn't stop listening. And so often we'll say they just wouldn't stop talking, but he said he just ran across a friend that wouldn't stop listening. And we should never stop listening to the Lord. This parable of the soul here is not, I don't think, as much as specific different people as it is that it's times in our lives and that we allow our soul to be different. This could affect in each type of these souls. We could probably see some of ourselves at times in this. And instead of saying, well, this means that person, I think that if we listen, if you in verse 9, it says, he that hath ears, let him hear, that if we don't stop listening to the Lord, that we keep listening, and that we allow him to speak to our hearts. And we might say, well, I've been a Christian 20, 25, 30, 35 years. But I tell you what, I learn more every day. The more I dig, the more I study, the more I learn. And I hope I never quit learning. I hope that I keep growing and growing in the grace and the knowledge. And that is why I think these parables are so important. And I think the Lord, he laid them on my heart for us to go through them. Boy, they're eye-opening. But we should never, ever stop listening. Verses 12 and 13 says, for whosoever hath to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they see and see not, hear and they hear not, neither do they understand. And see, when we stop listening to the Lord, we'll stop understanding. And this is parables is given to folks that's interested, that's wanting to know. And he said these mysteries of the gospel's been given to you, and it's folks that's interested. And we're going to see these different types of folks in this soil tonight. But a farmer went out to sow. Now, this congregation, most of us know a little bit about sowing. My daddy, of course, he didn't have a leather pouch like he did in this time back in those days. But my daddy could take a 5-gallon bucket, and a lot of times he'd cut it in half so he could get his hand down in there good. And he could sow seed by hand, and it come up just like you'd used a cyclone sower. Mine... Everywhere I made a back swipe, there'd be a streak. And you'd get more seed back here than you would out there. Now, after a few years, I caught on a little bit. But how many of you know what I'm talking about? Broadcasting by hand. When you reach in there and this is what this sower, the parable's talking about, this sower that's out sowing seed. And as he goes out this farmer, and what happened when the farmer sowed? Is here verses 4 through 8. As he was sowing, this is what happened. You know what I'm so thankful of? That he didn't sow sparingly. He didn't just pick and choose. Now if I buy the, some of the seeds you buy is pretty high. You don't want to buy a bunch of alfalfa seed and go sow it on some rocky ground, or go sow it somewhere where you don't know, because you want every one of them to come up. And he didn't pick and choose. He went out and sowed everywhere. Boy, I tell you, I'm so thankful that the gospel's not hid from us. And it's for everybody. There's no big eyes and no little U's, and the ground's level at the cross. Amen. Amen. Thank God for that. But want to look at these four types of soil and what they represent. The first one, it says, and when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them. This is a spoiled soil or a hard heart. Once you hear and don't understand, that it says in verse 19, when, and this is when Jesus interpreting the parables, and when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which is sown in the heart. This is that which receives seed by the wayside. And see, not understand, I've had so many people say, well, the reason I don't read the Bible is because I don't understand it. A lot of times it's not a lack of understanding, but it's not willing to receive it. Amen. It's an unheeding hearer. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, the Bible says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Of the devil, and I don't want to give him much credit. Preacher Cutshaw, he said, I think we give the devil too much praise, and I don't want to give him no praise, but he has got folks' eyes blinded today. He's got their hearts blinded and the eyes blinded of people. And when the seed falls, it's not that they don't understand as much. They just don't receive it because they have been blinded. They've allowed the devil to blind their eyes. And I'll tell you tonight that if we're not careful, he'll blind our eyes to the truth and to the gospel. And he'll tell us lies, and he'll whisper things into our ears and get us to believe a lie. Luke 8:12, Luke's version, this says, those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Now, I want to give you a bad statistic tonight, and we'll talk about it a little later on. But in these four types of soul, only one out of four bears fruit. Three types of what we talk about is not fruit-bearing soil. And when we sow, and when we pray, and when we go out, and when we try to win, folks, it's going to be a lot more reject you than it'll receive it. And a lot of folks you see come forward, you'll see make a profession of faith. You might see them go through the baptistry. You might see different things. But there's different types of soil that the devil will work on and take them right back out. Amen. How many folks have you seen that you know that's hard-hearted? They just, seems like a seed bounces right off of them. And they've grown hard-hearted, and the devil has blinded their eyes, and their hearts has got hard. And Hebrews 3:13 says, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Sin will harden their hearts if we allow him and buy into his lies and let him slip in just like he did Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden and slip in and lied and painted a pretty picture. And the next thing you know, they were in sin. The same way the deceitfulness of sin, his lies, his pretty pictures, all of his cunningness will come right in and paint a picture, and we'll buy into it and be hard-hearted. Even though we sat in church every Sunday, we can become hard-hearted through the deceitfulness of sin. Blinded by Satan. I'm going to have to take a cough drop. Bear with me. See, they hear the word, but they heed to the world. Hear the word, but heed to the world. The second type of sin or soil is the shallow soil in verses 5 and 6. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. Now, Rhonda and I have got a couple of rocks in her front yard that's got just a little bit of dirt over top of them. And when the rain is good and in the wet season, that grass will grow up and it'll look beautiful. But you let it get the least bit dry, and that grass will die on them rocks. Just as sure as anything, that grass will die. And this is what this was talking about. It was sowed in shallow soil. And when the sun come out and popped up, they just burnt right down. In verse 20 and 21 is Jesus' response to this. He said, "But he that receiveth the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word and is anon with joy, receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended." You know, this is could be a convenient, called convenient Christianity. They quickly, now, you all know me, I'm a pretty emotional guy. I can get emotional with the best of them. But when we get carried up in emotions, how many times have you seen a revival or something that's been real emotional and people have an emotional experience and they move up and you think, boy, they've got it. And the next thing you know, they're out just as fast as they come in. This is where the seed is, the heart is stony. The heart, it's not deep soil. And this is what happens. And when the tribulation and the trials come, do you notice in that it didn't say if? Look at that verse, it says when. It's not an if. And what I've noticed, if your heart is right and the seed has set and you are settled in your decision in following Christ the rest of your life, these trials and tribulations will make you stronger instead of weaker. I've not got many amens on that. In the long run, when you look back, these tribulations, you'll be stronger after them than you was when you went in. I get you didn't want me to repeat it again, so you say amen that time. John 6:66 says, "From that time many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more." Jesus told them then that he was the bread from heaven and that anybody would have to eat his bread to go eat this of this bread to make it to heaven. And they said, "This is a hard saying." And said, "From that time on, many turned away and quit following me." See, they had not, the word, the seed had not hit in the good ground. They had not received it in the good ground. See, these kind of people also is the ones that you'll see every time they have a crisis in their life. Won't darken the doors of the church. 9/11 brought them in by the droves. Amen. That next Sunday, man, they's in there by the droves. Then next Sunday got a little less, then a little less, and then the next thing you know is right back to where he was. Lord, we'll see you next crisis. And that's these type of folks that the seed has not settled down. A lot of times that this happens in revivals and in revival services. And I love revival service and I love evangelistic outreaches. But so often that there's a big emotional thrust with it and then folks get caught up in the emotions and then they go right back to where they was. This one is where this seed is hit on the stony ground. The third one is in verse 7. "And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them." This is the strangled soul. A person that is so attached to the world, the worries and the wealth of the world. It gets so caught up and it chokes it out. Have you ever noticed? Now I tell you, if and I remember when we got in church and when folks start, I've noted people starting going to church, and the minute they do, on Sunday morning or Sunday evening right before church, somebody pulls up. Some family from out of town comes in. Somebody comes up, an old friend wanting to go do something. Or somebody, some pal. Every time church, this so happened, here will come a visitor. And that is, and the devil works in trying to keep the cares of this world to attach to us and drag us down. In Luke 8:14, in the account says, "And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no more fruit to perfection." Have you ever seen anyone start out strong for the Lord? Then in a couple weeks or a couple months, they just disappear back out. But you know, in 2 Timothy 4:10, the Bible says, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, and Titus to Dalmatia, but hath forsaken me for this present world, and is departed." But you know that even how many of us has been in a revival or has been in just a tremendous service where the power of God was moving, and we've made a reservation that we're going to change, that we're going to, that God's brought something to light in our hearts, and then we say, "Well, I'm going to change that. We're fired up. We're ready to change," and then in about 2 weeks we're right back to where we was. I mean I don't care how, if we're not careful, we'll get in that, aren't we? We get and the devil will bring everything else to mind, and we start losing. I tell you what, a really biggest struggle, one of the biggest struggles with me is my Christian walk, is be trying to memorize Scripture. You ever really tried to memorize a lot of verses? I've memorized, you know, used to, we'd try to memorize chapters and remember. And boy, the devil, when you get in working on memorizing Scripture, he'll put 9 million things in your mind and in your heart. I guess because he knows what the Word is. The fourth soul is spiritual soul. This is fruitful faith in verse 8. "But other fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. This is the only one of the four that brings forth fruit. This is our heart cultivated. This is our heart right with the Word of God. We allow, open up and allow God's Word to permeate. Allow God's Word to change us. Allow God's Word to take up residence in our lives and in our hearts. And we're obedient to His Word. Jesus saved the best soil for last, didn't He? In John 15:8, I think I read this morning, "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples." Galatians 5:22 said, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." The fruit of the Spirit, fruit bearing, I want you to listen. Fruit bearing is a mark of a disciple. is a mark of a disciple. One that is totally sold out to follow Christ is one that bears fruit. Verse 9 says, "He who hath ears to hear, let him hear." Hearing and heeding. What is it James said about hearing? It said, "Be ye not hearers of the word only, but doers also," didn't he? Being doers of the word. Romans 1:16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, from the Jew first and also to the Greek." It's the power of the gospel that'll get us through. It's the power. That gospel that saved you will take you to heaven. That power that saved you will get you through your next crisis. That power that saved you will get you through your next tribulation. That power will get you through your persecution. That power will get us up on Monday mornings. That power will put a testimony on our hearts when we go to work. That power will give us the ability to share the gospel. Will give us ability to hand a tract out. Will give us ability to be a witness for Jesus Christ. The power. And as I mentioned there, don't get discouraged. One out of four bears fruit. I want to tell you something about when we were talking about really being sold out, as we being sold out to the Lord and being dedicated. A young woman received a proposal from her boyfriend, and he said, "Darling, I want you to know it. I love you more than anything else in this world, and I want you to marry me. I'm not rich, and I don't have a yacht or a Rolls Royce like Johnny Brown, but I do love you with all my heart." She thought for a minute and then replied, "I love you with all my heart, but tell me more about this Johnny Brown." Amen. You know what? That sounds like a lot of folks. But the sower did not sow sparingly. He did not count the cost. He sowed everywhere. In the weeds, in the gravel, on the rocks, in the good soil, in the bad soil. He didn't care. He cost him the best heaven had to offer, and he still kept sowing. He never backed off. There was not anybody that wasn't worth his seed. There was not any sinner that was too bad that he didn't go after. If you remember in Jesus' days when he walked and he talked, it wasn't the up and in that it was the down and out that he was hanging with. You seen him more with tax collectors, more with sinners and prostitutes than you did with the Pharisees. That's the folks that needed him. That's the folks that folks need us today. That's who we need to concentrate, the ones that's down and out. The people that need the Lord. And we're awful prone to be kind of partial to the one that dresses like we do, aren't we? Talks like we do. Amen? But he sowed seed everywhere. 1 Corinthians 3:6, the Bible says, "I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase." It's not our place to worry about the increase. We just got to worry about the watering and the sowing, don't we? It's God's business to give the increase. He sends the sun. He sends the rain. He sends what it needs. We just got to be busy sowing. Remember the verse that says, "He that sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly." Let's pray. Father, we thank you. praise you. Father, we thank you for this passage. We ask you to use it in our lives. Father, we thank you for these parables. We just pray, God, that you'd just change us through them, through this study. Father, we come out with a greater desire to serve you, a greater desire to be a witness. Lord, they're talking about a lot about fruit and about seed and about sowing. Lord, help us to be a people that's interested in souls. God, give us a burden for the lost. Help us, Father, that our goal and our mindset would be, and when we see folks, we'd see, are they saved or not? Do they need to hear the gospel? God, I pray that you'll stir our hearts and help us, Lord, to be the soul that receive the seed. God, be with us. Be at this time of invitation. Move according to your perfect will. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Please stand. Turn
to
number 424.
You need to pray this evening. Will you come?
Have faith in God when your pathway is lonely. He sees and knows all the ways you have trod. Never alone are the least of his children. Have faith in God.
Told me this meeting will be about 10 minutes, so if it goes more than that, I'm going to blame it on Dennis instead of me.
Thank you.
So all hearts and minds clear. Have you been glad to be in the house of the Lord today?
Amen.
I was thankful when they said, let us go in the house of the Lord. So all hearts and minds clear.
Brother Dennis,
you know that.